Good morning. Is this? Hello, hello, hello. Ah, that's better. I feel like a little louder now. So we're doing a Cap Sunday today, and we haven't really done an official Cap Sunday for about 7 or 8 years, I would guess. A lovely lady called Jane Seals came and spoke to us about CAP and did the kind of official talk, but that was a long time ago. But I thought we should do one, a proper one, as in the one that CAP actually asked us to do, rather than what I just make up off the top of my head. Partly because since we started CAP, we opened a debt centre here 9 years ago. In that time, the folk here have changed enormously. There are some who are still here, the faithful few, but a lot of new faces over those 9 years, which is brilliant. But as a consequence, I guess there could be some among us who know less about CAP and some who know more, but perhaps it would be a good time just to revisit and have a little look at what CAP's all about, what's going on. This charity's been around for very nearly 30 years, so there's going to be some celebrations coming up to mark that coming up soon. And it was all started by one man up in Bradford. And if you are thinking after this talk today, you'd like to know more about him and the journey of setting up this national charity, then he wrote a book called Nevertheless. I've got a few copies here. So if you would like to, at the end of the service, when you're busy in the queue, signing up for Christmas, want to grab a copy of one of those, those are my last ones I've got left. So, but if you haven't read it and you'd like to, come and grab one of those. Okay, so we're going to be looking at, in John's Gospel, I think the slides tell us where, John 13. I printed off the notes for today, but obviously I printed off way too small for my prescription. So we're quite used to that in this church. There are others who have the same issue. Emma. John chapter 13. So, just to set the scene here, this is happening at the last meal Jesus had with his followers, just before going to his crucifixion. He knew what was coming. And in John, there is this record of this event that happens, this moment, this encounter which Jesus has with his disciples, which we're going to have a look at. It was just before the Passover festival. So I'm reading from the beginning. There is a gap in this bit, which I'm just going to read all of it because I love reading the Bible. But the slides miss 6 to 11. But if you're reading along, you'll at that bit, if you're relying on the slides, you'll just have to listen to me for that bit. So coming back to this. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he'd finished washing their feet, He put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It's quite amazing, isn't it? You think Jesus could have done or said anything at that moment. A key moment in his journey, knowing that it's come to that climax, he's with his main people who he's invested all this teaching, all this time with, all this demonstration with. And at this key moment, he performs this incredible act, which Peter clearly struggles with. Peter's seen and recognized that Jesus is Lord, and yet here he is washing his feet. And he struggles. And we saw that little bit in the passage about how Peter couldn't really grip what was going on. But this is obviously something for us to pay attention to. As we go out, as we try and follow in Jesus' footsteps and do the things that Jesus did as Christians, as we're called to do, we need to notice what Jesus did, washing the feet of those around him, washing his disciples' feet. And in fact, Jesus emphasizes this, doesn't he? He says, you really need to pay attention to what I've just done here. This is important. And I know we know these things. And CAP, 30 years ago nearly, set up to do basically just this, to go and serve the local people in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the UK, I think we're probably ready for the next slide, are we? Yeah, slide. There we go. Yeah, there we go. So CAP is a national charity. We have around 230 debt centres, of which one of them is ours here at this church, run by me. And we also do a number of other things. We run job clubs, we run life skills courses, we run CAP money courses. We've even done one here. We probably should do another one, but life is busy. And all of these things are aimed at helping people who are in poverty and in debt to get out of debt and into a place of sustained life, sustained living. And you may think, we're a rich country, the UK, we don't really have a poverty issue, but that is not the case. We really do have a poverty issue here, and CAP survey clients every year to find out where they're at and what's going on, and they collect all that information. And they publish it, and they lobby Parliament and tell them these things and try to influence policy. So it's just a couple of statistics here on the screen. 1 in 10 adults in the UK lose sleep every week because of their finances. 1 in 5 UK adults skip meals at some point every month because they can't afford enough food. That's quite shocking. We have a welfare state. We pay benefits. And yet, for 1 in 5 adults in the UK, 1 in 4 in London, they're in a situation where they are not able to get by month without skipping meals. Let's move on, Chris. The next one. There we go. In 2024, so CAP have been going out there face-to-face meeting with people to try and help resolve the situations that have caused people to be in this crisis of poverty. And during that time, we've gone out and met a lot of people at this centre locally. Over the last 9 years, I've met and tried to help over 200 different individuals or families, which is incredible, and thank you for your support in helping that to happen. And others who are running centres are doing the same. And during 2024, here are some of the sort of key figures that were kind of brought out from those encounters that we had as Cap Debt Centres with local people. So 316 people came to Jesus during that time, either for the first time or recommitted to their faith. 638 households received emergency aid, such as food or fuel vouchers. 2,436 people nationally became debt-free. And that's a huge, huge weight of those 2,400 people's shoulders. Bryony and I went to a CAP event in London, and they mentioned some of these statistics. They have an annual report where they publish these things. And that's very encouraging, 2,400 people debt-free in 2024. But the shocking thing is that according to analysis of the UK, there are around 11 million people who could benefit from some debt help out of our population of 70 million. Around 11 million could benefit from debt help. Many of those 11 million would really benefit from a face-to-face visit, which is what CAP do. In fact, we're the only people who provide debt help face-to-face. There's lots of other charities out there who help people in debt. Step Change, Citizens Advice, National Debt Line, all of these people. Most of them provide an online service. Very, very good. But for many people that we go and help, an online service is not going to work. They need face-to-face encounters with people who are going to come alongside them, help them to gather their paperwork, work it through with them, lift off all the key information, get some expert advice and explain it to them and walk with them step by step through that process to getting the right solution to their debts. A lot of people could not do that without someone walking with them. And the incredible thing is, despite the fact that it says Christians Against Poverty, the name is on the tin, there are lots and lots of people phoning in and saying, I want the church to help me. Now, we sometimes think, oh, the church, you know, we're a bit like people don't know what to think of us or whatever. We might worry about the image the church has. But there's a lot of people out there in need who know they need the help of the church. And they're sticking their hand up. They're phoning our 0800 number up here. And they're saying, could someone from the church come and help me? Could somebody come and sit with me and help me get out of this mess? Because I can't do this on my own. And that is amazing. That is amazing. And we at the King's Church are part of that. All of you have helped make that happen in one way or another. Probably next slide, Chris. Okay. There were a few more stats, but we will move along to this little bit. So we're going to have a bit of time looking at some of the couple of other close encounters Jesus had with people. So we've looked at one close encounter that Jesus had with his disciples on the Last Supper, where he washed their feet. We're going to have a look at another couple of them. And I don't know about you, but when you think about, if you ask yourself the question, why do I love Jesus? If you think about that for a moment. For me, one of the answers to that question comes from these stories, where I see Jesus meeting ordinary people where they're at and not judging them, loving them, and speaking change into their situation, bringing transformation into situations where others had not been able to do so. So let's first of all have a look at, squint at my notes, John chapter 5. Verses 2-8. See if you skip back a few pages. I don't know if these... Yes, might be slide 9. Are we on to the next one? Oh, we skipped... Okay, that's fine. John chapter 5, verse... The healing at the pool. I'm going to start at the beginning, but we're going to read to verse 8. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. In this story, Jesus, first of all, first thing to notice, Jesus taking time with this person. He listens to him, asks him questions. Here's his story. We get a little glimpse of it. Maybe the conversation was a little longer than just that little snippet. But he asks him about what's going on here. Obviously, somehow it's discovered that he'd been unwell for 38 years. That's coming up somewhere in the conversation. Because otherwise, how did it end up in this gospel? They discover this man has no one to help him. For 38 years, he's been wanting to get well and get into the water and receive the healing that others have experienced, and he hasn't been able to do it. We can start to imagine maybe what this life might be like. Maybe it sounds a little bit like he doesn't have anybody to help him. Maybe he hasn't got family around. Maybe he hasn't got close friends. He sounds like he's somewhat isolated. He sounds like he's suffering alone. Because if he had these folk, family and friends, over that time, would they not have helped him? Jesus spent some time with this man. There were others. He says, you know, that lots of people gathered there. It doesn't mention any of the others. It mentions this man, this individual encounter with this individual who needed at that moment, and also for the previous 38 years, needed an encounter with Jesus. Jesus listens to him and then heals him. Beautiful. Beautiful moment. Another one, Mark chapter 7. To go back a little bit further. We're going to have a look at verse 24. A little background to this while you're finding it. In Jewish culture, if you read the Old Testament, you start to realize it. There was a real issue with trying to keep things that are, Mark chapter 7, things keeping themselves separate, keeping themselves holy, which means separate, keeping themselves before God and separated from all that was not clean around them. So there's all these rules about you can't eat pork, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. Also, there were a lot of rules about who you could and couldn't hang out with. You couldn't go into the home of someone from another nationality, for example. A lot of the stories of the thinking about Jesus when he touches somebody and heals them. In those moments, Jesus is breaking those ideas of if you touch somebody who is sick, you are touching somebody who is unclean. You then become unclean. Jesus has this great reversal where he is bringing cleanliness and healing rather than receiving uncleanliness, which is what the perception was of the day. And you look at the story of the Good Samaritan journey. The reason the priest and the Levite didn't go and help was not because they weren't have compassion, but because they couldn't, because the law said, you can't touch this man. So here we are in this situation where Jesus is with someone who is considered a foreigner, therefore unclean. He, a man, talking to a woman. Again, not supposed to be happening according to Jewish customs of the day. Let's have a look. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house. Hear that? He went into a house, not supposed to do that, and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Gotta love that woman. I just love that. Sometimes God honors us for just speaking from the heart. Brilliant. "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Love those little stories. In almost every way, this encounter should never have happened. As a devout rabbi, Jesus should never have been there, on foreign soil, and certainly not talking to this Gentile woman. The whole encounter would have been seen as unclean by his fellow Jews because she was a Gentile. And yet, there he was, face to face, engaging in deep conversation with her and learning about her daughter who had been possessed with an unclean spirit. Jesus asks her a rhetorical question about dogs and bread. He was saying, if I help you, you know what they'll say, don't you? Jesus was not supposed to be encountering this woman. He certainly wasn't supposed to be helping this woman. But what the woman responded is legendary. Even the dogs under the table get to eat the crumbs. She was willing to receive whatever Jesus was offering. And Jesus, for his part, used love to overcome every taboo, every barrier of race, reputation, religion, gender, geography, prejudice, tradition, just to talk with her. In this close encounter, Jesus shows that she is within God's grace because no one is excluded. No one is excluded. And I just was thinking about this talk today, and I was thinking, there is something very precious about having this opportunity to go and serve those who are struggling. Everyone is included in God's grace. We're all made by him. We're all made in his image. And to be able to go and serve someone made in the image of God in the name of Jesus is an honor. Whatever that service may look like, whether it's CAP or whatever, whether it's Feastmas, it's an honor. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, now we're going to have a look at the story of someone helped by CAP. The slides in my talk don't seem to be lining up. Never mind, Chris. I think we're almost onto the video. Let me just introduce it just before you press play. So this is about a lady called B. In June 2023, so not talking long ago, 2 years ago, B and her husband were made redundant and the world was turned upside down. They had gone from steady income and good financial standing to no jobs and falling behind on payments. B began to experience severe anxiety and suicidal thoughts. She visited her GP about this, and on her way home, she saw a sign that read, "Hope." Realizing that she'd lost all hope and was in desperate need of some, B plucked up the courage and stepped into the Hope Center in Hanforth, where she lived. She was overwhelmed by the warm welcome she received from everyone and felt a lightness she had not experienced in a while. B was introduced to CAP for expert debt advice and support. Her debt coach, Barney, guided B and her husband through the whole process of their debt relief order, and they are now debt-free. B is now a befriender, that's a CAP volunteer, and has a renewed sense of faith in God. Let's have a little watch of the video.
Ever since I was younger, I've always suffered with anxiety and really, really low moods. My way of dealing with it was I try and do it, and if I couldn't do it, I'd get angry at myself that I couldn't do it. Then it'd build onto something else. Well, you're no good at that, you're no good at that. Then the negativeness would come in, which was really, really hard. My name's Bernice. Everybody calls me B for short. I'm married to my husband, Keith. Last June, I was really in a poorly state. I was doing the job, but there wasn't enough money coming in. My husband was struggling himself with arthritis, but my mental health deteriorated, and then being told we'd be made redundant. So I was scared of being on the streets. I was scared of thinking, I'm going to lose our home. My husband was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I'm like, Keith, I can't think. My anxiety would be through the roof. My head would be banging. I feel sick. I'm going to cry now. I'm so sorry. Because it was such... Sorry. It was so hard. And then me and Keith were at each other and I said, we shouldn't have got together, we shouldn't have got married, we wouldn't have had all this. And I'm so sorry, I'm going to cry, I don't know why I'm crying, I'm so sorry. It just broke me down. And poor Keith, I've never seen him so low. And that was just because of money. And we tried to figure out if we were entitled to anything, if we could get anything, and nobody could give us any information, nobody would tell us anything. So we're in the dark because we've always been workers. We've never had to ask for money, we've always worked. But I just couldn't figure it out. And I remember my mental health nurses saying to me, why do you punish yourself thinking you can't do that? But that's how my anxiety and my depression works. I seem to kick myself when I'm down. Went back on, started on medication for antidepressants. And had a good chat with my doctor. I just cried all day. She was brilliant. As I was coming out, my doctor's is just over the road from the church, and normally I walk around the pathway. But today, on that day, I walked through the churchyard, just about to walk away. I didn't know what it was at the time, but something made me turn back and go, no, come on, B, look at it again. And I looked at her and I went, it says hope. And I just had this realisation that I'd lost all my hope. And that's what I needed. I remember Barney just saying, hello, welcome to hope. And I just burst into tears. I couldn't stop crying. And I thought, oh, I'm so... I remember saying, I'm so sorry. And they were like, it's OK. Just cry. It's OK. You've come to a safe place. You've come to somewhere where you can just relax, you know. When it's been a rainy day and the sun comes out, that's how it felt. Like we'd come out the dark into the light. So Barney came round and explained what CAP do, and he explained about all the paperwork. We were told that we could get a debt relief order because we're in that much debt and we were on benefits and getting universal credits. And also we were told a calculation of how much extra we could get. CAP sorted it all out. They were ringing us in between, saying they were in the middle of it, and they were constantly in touch with us. Amazing people, you know, just oh, I can't thank them enough. And then we got the debt relief order, and it meant that we were clear of debt. And it was just such an amazing, amazing thing. It's just like this amazing feeling of relief and like a lift, you know. I've just become a befriender with CAP, which I'm excited about. I've done other courses as well, with CAP as well. I did the life skills one, which was another good one. I've learned to be able to grow again. I've learned to say, you know what, B, you're all right, girl. You know, you're fine. People are happy with you. Your family love you. All this love you've got around you, which you didn't think you had. We went through all that hardship, and then suddenly that hardship's gone, and it meant we could go forward, you know, but in a better place together.
Poverty steals, God restores. What part will you play? Let's end UK poverty together. Pray, campaign, donate.
So powerful, those stories, aren't they? They really hit you. We've had over 30 people in our who've gone debt-free through this centre here. Yeah. 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 It's amazing. And you see from her story what a difference it makes. Now, you're probably thinking, this is great, Daniel. How can I get involved? That's probably what you're thinking, I'm imagining. You're probably thinking, how can I get involved? Well, first of all, you can pray. You could sign up for CAP's prayer letter thingy. I think, Chris, there might be on the next slide now, maybe. There. Oh, a QR code. I don't know if we can get all of it on the screen, but when you're queuing up to sign the paperwork for Christmas and you're thinking about picking up a book or not, if you've not read it, if you want to get more involved with CAP, then you can also scan that QR code. Okay, fine, which Chris will sort out. Which I think it does a number of things. One, I think, is it gives you the option to sign up for the monthly prayer newsletter thing, which allows you to pray for CAP and for the various clients. It may be you're thinking, I'd like to financially support CAP. Now, there's two options here. You could support our local centre, that's us here, or you could support CAP as a national charity. Now, we need to get bigger. We need to be able to help more people. 2,400 people went debt-free in 2024, but there was about 11 million people who need debt help. So it's really, really important for those 2,400. But there's a whole massive number of people out there who still need more help. And it would be great if CAP could start to reach some more people. We could even reach more people locally, because there's certainly enough work for more people to come alongside me and to come and go out and see people. So if you're thinking, do you know what, I would like to get involved at a much more serious level, either as a volunteer with me, that would be lovely, or if you think, actually, do you know what, I want to get trained and I want to go out there and do this work alongside Daniel, then that is also a possibility. So there's that too. And that's it, I think. Pray, give, volunteer. Yes, those are the three. So if that's something you think you want to do, then please do scan that QR code. If you want to give to us locally, do have a chat with Chris, because it's probably the best way to do it. If you want to give to CAP nationally, then I think scanning the QR code might be your best option, or going through the website. Can I finish with prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the mission you put on John Kirkby's heart around 30 years ago to set up CAP. We thank you for the tens of thousands of people over those 30 years who are debt-free, who've had an encounter with the church, many, many people who've come to know you through this work. But Lord, we are just scratching the surface of the need in this country. And we, Lord, pray you would come with your anointing and your blessing. You'd pour it out over CAP. You'd pour it over their finances. You'd pour it over their staff. You'd pour it out over their volunteers. You'd pour it out over their debt centers, their job clubs, their life skills groups. You'd pour it out of the CAP, into the CAP money courses. That you would use this ministry to reach out to the poor and the hurting. That we would be able to do what you showed us to do, Jesus, in your encounters with those who were struggling, who were lonely, who were isolated, who were separated, who were judged by the land of the day and by the people of the day. And we are going in your name, Lord, without any of that, just bringing the hope of Jesus into the lives of people who have been made in his image and who are loved by you. Lord, help us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit again. Anoint this ministry and bless it, Lord, in every way. And if you are speaking to any of us, Lord, individually, we pray, Lord, you'd help us to hear your voice and your call about CAP and what role we might play. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.